Are you tired of watching the same old travel videos on the internet? Well, then check out MikeNoGoZones.com, a travel documentary that's breaking barriers. I go to the places that the media tells you to fear, where no one else dares to go. Baltimore, Opa-locka, south side of Chicago, and more. Go to MikeNoGoZones.com.
We're going to talk to my buddy Mike Kliss. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Kliss, and you can catch his work at 9 News, Broncos Insider, NFL Insider. Let's bring him aboard. Mikey, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. We were supposed to be down your way for the NFL owners meetings and the NFL coaches breakfast today. Didn't have that, so it, to replace it, we had a conference call with Fangio and Elway. And, you know, everything is about, you know, how to adjust with the coronavirus going on.
Yeah, no, I can imagine. And let me ask you, are you anywhere near the Kirk Herbstreit neighborhood where he feels we're not going to have football this year? What do you think about this? Do you expect it? Because I'm still hopeful that we'll get through this in a couple months and we can, you know, get our lives back again. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I understand where Herbstreit is coming from. That's starting to become seeping into the American conscience, I think, that this could last longer than we thought, longer than everyone hoped. I hope he's wrong, and I hope you're right, is all I can say. It does look like, you know, at this moment here at the end of March, March 30th, March 31st, whatever day it is. It seems like when you're homeward bound, the days kind of run together. You don't know a Saturday from a Tuesday.
Yes.
But, you know, it looks like June 1st is the earliest anyone can hope for. Maybe late May. I don't know. But the scary part is no one. And I mean no one, including the top medical professionals,
yes,
know how to handle this virus. And so, you know, any speculation is just guesswork. You know, it's like predicting the future. It's no one's very good at it. So we'll just, you know, everyone's just kind of adjusting on the fly.
Yeah. And you know, Mikey, I don't know if you saw what the premiership is going to try to do. They're talking about maybe grabbing their teams and sequestering all of them, which is the only way you could actually do this, that they're going to sequester them and the broadcasters and everybody and keep them away from everyone. And they'll be in one place where they can hang out together, live together for a couple of months and finish out the premiership season. That's literally the only way you could do it. But you would have to sequester everybody and keep them away from everyone. They can't go visit their family members. They can't go visit friends. They, you know, players can't go date, you know, their IG models. None of that. They would have to give up everything and only be a part of the sport itself. I don't know if we could do that in America. I don't know if we could pull that off.
Yeah, I know, because it's way more than the game, right? I mean, it's an event. It's a spectacle. You know, you take all that away, you know, like Major League Baseball, you know, the backfield minor league game, you know, no one would care for that. No one would be interested in that. I don't know. It's, you know, it'd be practice. Basically, it'd look like practice. And, you know, everyone practices in solitude, I guess. So that part is possible, but that would be hard to, that wouldn't come anywhere near replicating the event, the entertainment aspect of it. So I wouldn't be for that. You know, if you can't do it right, don't do it at all, as they say. And but what do I know? I'm just following the rules and trying to keep up. But all we know is that, you know, the NFL was able to go through free agency, which is, you know, not an active event. It's not a physical activity. You know, it's a phone call and news event. The draft would be a news events, but not necessarily anything active. That's pretty much the only two things, you know, in this country that's going on sport-wise besides all the reruns they're showing.
Yeah.
And we'll, you know, and then we'll see if it's, I guess, soon enough if Herb Street's right and it's all for naught.
Yeah, that'll be some crazy stuff, man. If that is the case, that we go a long, long time without sports in this country, or life itself, period. Because this is obviously altering everything we do. All right, so talking about the draft later this month, what direction do you expect the Broncos to go in early? Drew Lock, I would imagine they're sold on him enough for the 2020 season.
Yeah, they are. There was a lot of good quarterbacks out there, and the Broncos stood pat with Drew Lock. So that tells you where how the team is committed to him, you know, both the coaching staff and Elway and the personnel staff. In free agency, they were as active as any team, but they didn't get a receiver. They dipped their toe in on Nelson Aguilar and I think did make an offer for him. He went to the Raiders instead. But they're wanting a speedy compliment to Cortland Sutton, their otherwise number one receiver. And this is a deep receiver class, Big O, and yeah. The Broncos will get a receiver. We'll get a receiver within the first two rounds. Now, I can't promise you they'll get one at number 15. There's two ways to go about this. There's some sensational receivers in this class, and you either get one in the first round, or because it's so deep and you know you can get a good receiver in the second round, you know, you take a position that they need that's not as deep, and you get a cornerback or you get an offensive tackle. That would be the three positions at receiver are at number 15 for the Broncos, are receiver, offensive tackle, or cornerback. Mm-hmm. If they don't take a receiver at 15, number 15 overall, they will take a receiver in the second round at some point. So they need one. They need another one, that's for sure. And, you know, they want to build up the weapons for Drew Lock, because in this division, the AFC West, feature the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. It's tough to beat them with Patrick Mahomes. You pretty much got to score in the 30s. And the Broncos have not been a 30-point-a-game team by any stretch, really, for about 5 years. And somehow they got to start scoring. You know, they've been scoring in the low 20s. And they got to make a jump by 8 or 9 points a game. And so, in order to do that, they got to get some weapons, and they got Melvin Gordon in free agency, but they need to get another speed type threat to play on the other side of Cortland Sutton.
Out of curiosity, Mike, and we're talking with Mike Klitz, 9 News, and Mike Klitz has been covering the Broncos for a long, long time. Great insider for them. I'm just wondering how honest is Elway with you guys on his. Because we're talking about one of the greatest to ever play the game, yet he, and maybe Drew Lock is the guy, but he has struggled so badly at that position to find a young quarterback that can grow up like he did with the Broncos and become that guy. And yeah, obviously he found Peyton Manning for a couple years. That doesn't really take rocket science to bring a guy like Peyton Manning in. But he has had a brutal time of drafting and trying to develop a young guy. How honest has he been about his struggles, and how weird is it that one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time doesn't have a great eye for quarterbacks?
Well, he's only failed once and what you talked about, and that was Paxton Lynch. All the other quarterbacks he's had were veterans. You know, Case Keenum was in for a year, Joe Flacco last year. Trevor Siemian was a seventh round pick.
And, right.
You know, that actually was a real good seventh round pick in 2015. When your seventh rounder starts 2 years,
I agree,
that's above and beyond expectations. It was the Paxton Lynch that kind of set the narrative, and what you just, you know, how you put it there, Big O, is how many people have put it. And it really, it goes to show what happens when you miss on a first round quarterback. And, you know, it is kind of ironic. What makes it a story or ironic is that Elway was one of the all time greats, and he missed on Paxton Lynch in the first round. I think what kind of happened there, along with Paxton Lynch, Gary Kubiak was the head coach at the time, and Kubiak is a very good quarterback coach on top of being offensive coordinator, on top of being the head coach. And when he departed, it was kind of a perfect storm for failure. When Kubiak left as head coach because of medical reasons, you know, that really hurt Paxton Lynch. That was the guy that believed in him. That's the guy that I think would have made the system fit for Paxton Lynch. Without Kubiak, it just didn't work. So, since then, he's tried, Elway has tried to band-aid the quarterback position with Keenum and Joe Flacco. Now he got the guy that he likes, and he's all in on Drew Lock. You know, and I think part of one reason why he's in on Drew Lock is because people keep giving him guff for missing, for not being able to find a quarterback since Peyton Manning. So Lock did look good. I was surprised, to be honest with you. What we saw him in preseason, he looked really raw. And then he got hurt. He hurt his thumb, and he was on the injured reserve for 12 weeks. And they even kept him on injured reserve a couple extra weeks because they didn't think he was ready. And then he went out there, and he played very well, very well. And so now they're, they're all in on him. The backup is Jeff Driskel, which, he's 1-7 as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Good athlete. The Broncos think he's the perfect number two complement, but Locke is their franchise guy. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Brady was out there. Phillip Rivers was out there. And any other year, Elway goes after one of those guys. And this year he didn't because Drew Locke's his guy.
Yeah, I like Drew Lock too, but when Elway picked him, I was like, oh God, maybe I picked the wrong guy because then I saw Drew Lock rapping on the sidelines, and I was like, oh no, is he a mature kid or is he a guy that likes to have fun? Because when I'm watching him like rapping sidelines, it's like, oh man.
Yeah, I think it's both. The cameras caught him rapping on the sideline. He's young, you know. The teammates, I think one reason why Elway and Fangio like him is because the teammates like him. You know, a lot of times I was young, and he is a cocky son of a gun. He is cocky, or at least highly, highly confident. But he's a... He's not a cocky type of kid where you don't like him. I mean, there's something about him that's very likable. The teammates like him. The media so far likes him. And of course he's 4-1.
Well, right. Yeah.
We'll see how that goes. And how he is with us if he goes through a rough stretch, which is coming, by the way. Yeah, he's a smart kid. He had strong parents. I met both of his parents, and they're the doting type. Andy Locke, his father, played for Andy Reid at Missouri, I do believe, and was part of that fifth down game at Missouri. I do believe he might have missed it by a year, but he was an offensive lineman for Andy Reid at Missouri. So, good family. He was raised right. And he does seem like a mature kid. But again, we'll know more after he has a couple of rough games how he is.
Right, exactly. So you're telling me he has kind of that Joe Burrow swag, that it's cocky, confident, but you kind of like the cocky, confidence type of swag that he brings to the table. That kind of swag?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yep. I would say that's a that's a good comparison. And, you know, from afar, I've never met Joe Burrow, but, you know, I've watched him from afar, and he's not bashful, or doesn't strike me. And, and your quarterback, you know, the quarterback, you want your quarterback to be the big man on campus and to know he's the big man on campus. But, you know, his tight circle of friends, the guys in the locker room, you want those guys running through a wall for you, you know, making hanging in there and holding that block an extra half second, even though you're on the ground and, you know, the guys running over you. You try one more time to get in the way to stop the guy from hitting the quarterback. That's the type, you know, you got to have your players, your teammates believing in you to that extent in order to be successful. And I think he has that. I think he has that in him where the guys are going to play for him.
Mike Kliss, of course, from 9 News, joining us, Broncos insider. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike Kliss. Mike, another story that I believe you even wrote about, too. I think it's where I read it, the quotes, was Philip Lindsay and Melvin Gordon. And Lindsay, you know, about talking about, you know, I'm going to be doing my job. That, you know, Melvin is a teammate of mine, but I'm not here to hand him the job. And I think if you're the coach and you're the front office, you have achieved a nice, healthy amount of animosity in that running back's locker room and competitiveness at the same time. But is there any way of losing Philip Lindsay a little bit because you give the other guy that has not been on the team $16 million, and he's kind of a question mark on his own, whereas Philip Lindsay has sold out for you for 2 years and the little guy has overachieved, and yet he's not being rewarded? And hell, in your article, he openly talks about how he's outplayed his contract. And usually when they're telling you that they've outplayed your contract, it's another way of telling you, I need a new contract.
Well, for context on that, you know, it's, if you're undrafted, you can revisit your rookie contract after your second year. And so I wrote about that, you know, the last game of the season that, you know, when Lindsay went over 1,000 yards, you know, now it's time to pay the guy because he was paid like an undrafted rookie, the bare minimum. He was a premium undrafted free agent, got a 15 grand signing bonus, which is decent as that status goes. But, you know, still, he was underpaid for a guy who won 1,000 and 1,000 in his first 2 years. And so Elway was asked about that after the season, and he said, yeah, we're going to look at doing his contract. Now, with Gordon, you know, I'm not sure the Broncos are going to do his contract. And so that is a tough blow for Philip Lindsay. And I think what you're going to see here, Big O, I'm just speculating, getting out ahead of things right here. But, you know, I'm sure Philip Lindsay's going to do all he can, and he's, you know, probably rightfully so. You know, things don't go as planned at the running back position. And if he has another good year, the Broncos control him for one more year as a restricted free agent. And then when it's time to be a free agent, he probably will be a free agent. And but business is business. And I would say business wise, the Broncos dealt a tough hand for Philip Lindsay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a part of me, Mikey, as much as I respect what he's done, I have a hard time expecting him to hold up because he's not a big guy. And we've already seen him suffer a couple of injuries as it is. And listen, who doesn't respect what he's done at his size? But it's also, you got to be realistic. And I think if you're Elway in the front office, you look at him and you say, I don't know how he holds up. So what kind of a financial commitment do we make to a guy that maybe we feel physically might be a detriment later on?
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, you were probably you know, having a cigar and a cup of coffee with Elway because you're pretty much right on with what the Broncos are thinking. You know, it Melvin Gordon's 215, Philip Lindsay's 175, 180. And the thing about Lindsay,
wow,
for his size, you know, he's not a typical 1B. You know, you want a Lindsay to be an eight-touch-a-game guy. You want him to be Darren Sproles, Austin Eckler, you know, catch the ball out of the backfield and get out on the perimeter.
Right.
That's not Lindsay, though. Lindsay has struggled in the passing game, catching the ball. Part of it is because of the wrist injury he had. The other part is, you know, in pass protection, he's just not big enough to take on those blitzing linebackers. And so, you know, as soon as Lindsay's in the game, the blitz is on. That's almost automatic. And then he runs not as well in the perimeter as he does between the tackles. He is a small, dynamic, between-the-tackles runner. He's one of the best in the league. I'm telling you, Big O, he's one of the best in the league between the tackles, and because he's so quick.
Right.
And I think his lack of height works to his advantage because you can't see him get through the hole. And, you know, amid all that humanity. But that doesn't set up well for him to be the 1B back to Melvin Gordon. So it'll be interesting to see how they get these two guys to mesh. Gordon is here primarily because of what you said. He's got the size to be the bell cow. And secondly, the passing game. Pat Shurmur throws the ball to his backs. And Gordon is a very good receiver out of the backfield. Better than Todd Gurley, which is why the Broncos went Gordon and not Gurley. And then we'll have to see how Philip Lindsay fits into this. The one problem with that particular tailback position is they're going to have to figure out how to fit on the fly, because I don't think they're going to be able to shake it out and figure things out during the off season when there is no – there's not going to be any off season.
Yeah, that's right. That's what's going to make it tough on everybody in getting ready for the regular season. Mike Kliss, make sure you follow him on Twitter at Mike Kliss. Catch his work there at 9 News. Awesome insight, as always, on the Denver Broncos. Mikey, as always, my friend, you stay safe. Thank you for taking some time and dropping some knowledge. We always appreciate it.
All right, Big O, same to you. I hope you stay healthy and you and all your loved ones through this tough time, but hopefully we all get through this. And they, you know, gee, a couple prayers for a vaccine, huh?
Yes,
sooner rather than later.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
Amen to that. Amen to normalcy. Thank you. Appreciate you as always, Mikey. Thank you. There you go.
You got it.
You got it. The great Mike Kliss, man, from 9 News. Good stuff there.